Affirmative Murder is brought to you by My Life in a Book. With Mother's Day right around the corner, I just know you guys are thinking about a truly special gift for your mom. But let me tell you about a pretty priceless gift. MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book that you could pass down from generation to generation, which I think is a pretty awesome memento to leave behind. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you want to ask. Your mother or the mother can either type her response or record her voice. MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It would be like preserving her voice and her stories for all of eternity. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories, and this is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm in the middle of my MyLifeInABook.com journey, and I'm really excited to see how it turns out. I've been asking some pretty thought-provoking and funny questions, and, you know, I'm excited to see the response, but I'm also just excited to have the physical book in my hands and know that I can look back on it in 20, 30 years. The interface is super user-friendly. The questions are super easy to set up. It's a breeze of a process. So what I need you to do is check out MyLifeInABook.com. That's MyLifeInABook.com. And use code AMP. That's A, M as in Mother's Day, P, at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for the mom in your life this Mother's Day. One more time, that's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code AMP for 10% off today.
Welcome to another episode of Affirmative Murder, the Equal Opportunity Murder Podcast. I am your host, Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans.
What's going on?
What is up, Fran?
Nothing much. What's up? What's going on? How you feeling?
Not a thing, man. I'm feeling, based on what I just read, I'm feeling a combination of envy and disgust. Both at the same town in Pennsylvania. There's a town in Newfoundland, Pennsylvania, that today I want to read you a brief article about something that took place today, and then I'm gonna come right behind that with a question based on another piece of news that happened in the same super small town in Pennsylvania. Okay, so let me read this for you. Today in Newfoundland, Pennsylvania, hundreds of crown-wearing worshippers clutching AR-15 rifles drank holy wine and exchanged or renewed wedding vows in a commitment ceremony at a Pennsylvania church on Wednesday, which is today, prompting a nearby school to cancel classes. With state police and a smattering of protesters standing watch outside the church, brides clad in white and grooms in dark suits brought dozens of unloaded AR-15s into World Peace and Unification Sanctuary for a religious event that doubled as an advertisement for the Second Amendment. So, in response to all those annoying kids who have been, you know, planning, you know, to walk out of their schools and protest, you know, assault weapons and going to Congress and asking them to do something about these. In response to those annoying, pesky kids, a church that is called, I'm going to say that again just to be clear as how much of a contradiction that this is. The church is called the World Peace and Unification Sanctuary. And today they held a recommitment ceremony for a bunch of people that go to the church to walk in there with a bunch of AR-15s and almost just like a symbol of we stand for the Second Amendment. Mm. And I just thought that was gross. I wanted to bring that up and say shame on those people, because if you were about peace and unification, you wouldn't do a ceremony that a school right down the street is like, that's so concerning to us, we're going to cancel school today.
What was it at again?
In Newfoundland, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
But again, I'm not going to go down.
I've seen a picture of it on Twitter. It was trending.
Yeah, so I don't want to go down that road. I just want to say I thought that was gross and shame on those people. But another piece of news that happened in Newfoundland, Pennsylvania today was 31 people won the lottery. I guess they had like a lottery pool, and it was for 60. So today, $60 million was given to 31 people at this company in Newfoundland, Pennsylvania.
Split up.
They split it up, so everybody got $1.7 million. And I think how the lottery works is you can either take like 60% of that up front, or you can get all of it, but they pay you like a salary.
Oh, okay.
And my question to you is, A, which one would you do? And B, what would you do if you as a group of people won a lottery pool, but you had the lottery ticket, are you a good guy? Or like what would, so A, if you were to win the lottery, would you take a lump? Like, so if you won the lottery for $1.5 million, would you take $700,000 straight up? Or would you take, I'll get $5,000 a month until I get the whole 1.5? That's one. And two, if you and all the people at your route, or mm-hmm. however that works, your mm-hmm. hub or whatever.
Station. Yeah.
Station. Sorry. It's more professional than that. If all the people at your station won the lottery in a lottery pool, mm-hmm. but you had the ticket, do you think you would, because you could cash it in, get $60 million, you could leave the state. Mm-hmm. Or would you do the right thing and go, and I will follow?
One, I would take it $5,000 each month.
Okay.
And
that's
two,
definitely a smart one.
Yeah. Two, I would be the good guy. I couldn't live with that. I couldn't live with just me taking the ticket and run.
I respect that.
Cause yeah. something like that, somebody could snap.
Yeah, somebody could snap. I'm gonna respectfully disagree. For one, if I won the lottery and I didn't have the ticket, I would probably take all the money up front because YOLO, I don't know what happens tomorrow. And I don't have kids.
True.
You know, like
true.
You could pass that on to your kid. And if something happens to you, somebody could still benefit. But for mm-hmm. me, I don't have anybody to leave that money to. If I die, I want to have had my money and been able to go travel. I want it now. Mm-hmm. So that's for one. For
well,
two.
Also, oh. since you said YOLO, you could die the next day. So.
Yeah. But still, though, what if I could die the next week? And for that week, I will live a great life. If I die
well,
the next
way,
day,
though.
But if I die the next day, I only got $5,000. I didn't get to do anything with $5,000 anyway. I'd rather have, you know what I mean? Don't poke holes
well,
in my.
Well, you can't say that YOLO, but either way, you could die the next day.
Yeah, but like that's such a, don't try to throw holes in my shit. I could die the next day, but like that's less likely. I'm saying like I could die within 6 months of winning the money. I'm not saying you can't.
That's not
if
less
I die,
likely.
If I die tomorrow. It don't matter if I won $700,000 or five. It doesn't matter. I'm dead. I don't
okay,
get to
so
enjoy
it anyway.
So how is
that any different from you getting $5,000 each month?
You just ruined the whole game with your whole thing. It doesn't matter what money I get. I'm dead. Let me get a little bit of time to enjoy it.
All right.
Even if it's $5,000 or $700,000.
Don't ruin my dream of.
I'm not ruining your dream. I'm just saying I respectfully disagree. This is what I would do. You come in here talking about you could die the next day. Who talks about that in a fantasy about winning the lottery? You could die the day after you win the lottery.
Don't say anything
I
about.
I just meant like a year after.
Okay.
I'm saying, you. What can you do? You get $5,000 a month for a year. You know, what's that, like $60,000? That's a nice year. You can
cool,
make
man.
That work. And I'm saying, I'm saying in a situation where, in my situation, I'm saying you die the next year, you could either die having made $60,000 or you could die having had $700,000 given to you up front and you went to Beijing and was riding snowboards down Kilimanjaro and all types of shit like that. Then you die and you're like, oh, but I lived. I lived, though. You know, so that's what I'm saying. You come in here with some shit about who wants to think about in a fantasy scenario, the next day you die. Either way, you can take the $5,000 or the $700,000.
That's the reality of the situation. So,
okay, Mister, what? What are you? Some kind of realist? That's the reality. That's life. Whatever, man. So, so you would take the stipend or whatever they call it, where you would get a sum of money every month.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Which is,
that way.
Realistically, that's the smarter way to do it because you get the whole money.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, so. Also, but I think if you get $700,000 straight up, I think you would.
I probably would die.
You would blow that.
Yeah, I probably, I would blow my life. I would yeah. I would be doing dumb shit if I just all of a sudden had access to.
Like, I quit.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh, I definitely, oh yeah. Oh, that would be so glorious. I was, oh man. First day, somebody give you any kind of grief at your job. Like, look, we need to stay late today. You know what? You can suck my dick. And how about throw money in their face? How about you get the fuck out of my face? I quit. Dance
I would.
Out.
I would be such an asshole at work.
Hiya, mariachi
band. Every day I would be like, I don't need to be here.
Yeah, I don't need this job. Like, hey man, can you make 8 copies of this? I don't even feel like being here today. Get out of my face. They would have to fire me, and then I'll collect unemployment on top of that because I'm a boss. But so you wouldn't take the lump sum and you're a good guy. You believe that you're a good guy and you wouldn't screw over a bunch of people.
I couldn't do that.
$60 million is a lot. Now we're talking about, now we're not talking about $700,000 anymore. Now we're talking about you could either get $20 million up front or you can get $100,000 a month. Either way, you could skip. That's like relocate money.
That's like off the grid money.
Yeah, that's like, I don't have to see. I'm sorry I fucked over you other 30 people that won this ticket with me, but I could be, you'll never see, even if you go crazy, you'll never see me again.
Yeah, but I think if I was one of those people, it'd be like, oh, I'm going to kill this guy. Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm saying if I'm the guy with the ticket, I'm gone. Move to South California move to another country, go to Canada, move to Canada, or I move to Thailand where $60 million is like a half a billion baht.
I believe in karma too much for me to do something like that.
You know something? That's a good point. You didn't have to bring karma into it. I am a believer in karma. All right, fine. I wouldn't take the money. I'd split it. I'd be a good guy too. Fine. The game is ruined.
Sorry.
But
did you hear about the girl who pretended to be dead while her dad killed, I think it was her stepmom?
No.
It was
what?
In St. Louis. A 4-year-old
she
girl.
She pretended to be dead?
She pretended to be asleep.
Oh.
She pretended to be asleep while her dad killed, I think it was his stepmom, killed her and her son, because it wasn't his son.
Oh.
Like, she came out.
Is she
out,
a good guy? Or what are we saying? Did she, like,
well, she, like,
are we saying, like, well, bad that she didn't call the police, or she thought he was going to kill her?
No, from the article I read, that she came out, I guess, like, during the altercation, and then he told her to go back into the room and go back to bed.
So are we...
And then he shot her and her son, and then shot himself.
That sounds like an
Eminem
song.
It was a murder-suicide.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And then when the police got there, she was still pretending to be asleep.
Oh, yeah, she was probably super in shock. Yeah. Okay, then. At first, I was like, is she a bad guy? Mm. Like, I didn't know. Okay. Yeah, that's fucked up. No, I did not hear about that.
Yeah.
That sounds a lot similar to an example in my story, which will be coming up after we take a quick break. But, yeah, in case we haven't made it clear, this is affirmative murder. This is a podcast where we talk about fucked up shit. Besides, you know, people bringing in guns to churches for symbolism and, you know, winning the lottery. Just some current events. Shout out to Newfoundland, Pennsylvania, which is, sounds like a fantasy land where just anything you want to do, you can do. Very white town.
I saw was like a lady in like a gown or something like a.
Yeah, she had a crown on. It was a lot of them. Yeah, because they were doing recommitment ceremonies. Like, you know, what do they call those? Like renewing your vows.
Yeah.
So, like,
you've
been married 15 years. They decided we're going to get recommitted with a gun in our arms because of something about it represents the iron of power or something. Some kind of verse from the Bible. They all try to tie it in to make it. People use bastardized religion to make it. I love people who. Go by the positivity thing, the positive notions of religion, but religion usually disgusts me. The way people bastardize religion grosses me out because people fight over it, they kill over it, and at the end of the day, it's kind of like you're fighting people because they don't like the superhero that you like. And I think that when you boil it down to an equation like that, it's like, well, I like Captain America, but, well, I like Wolverine, so we don't get along. It's like they're all fantasy characters based on a bunch of stuff that all stems from the same thing, like the Bible, the Quran, whatever Jewish people read, Kabbalah. I don't know if that's the same. That might be a different thing. But with all of those things, they all kind of say, like, be good to the people around you, you know, don't steal. They all kind of have the same rules, but they just had different people write the story. Hmm. So, follow those great. It's great to just be a good person and treat people the way you want to be treated. But to say that, oh, since you don't believe in the character that I believe in, we need to go to war or hurt people or... You know, God says we should have guns. God didn't say anything. God didn't speak to you. Somebody wrote that in the book. The Second Amendment was written by a bunch of stupid guys who had syphilis and didn't have hair, so they wore powdered wigs. And we're listening to them like they were these geniuses. So don't say that. It's a difference between Thomas Jefferson and God. Like, they aren't the same thing. The Bible doesn't tell you to have guns. So don't bring guns into church and conflate guns with God in that people... don't like guns that they aren't as good of a Christian as you. Because that's the kind of, at the end of that logic is like, oh, well, I'm being a good Christian because I have a gun. So anybody who is opposing the Second Amendment isn't a good Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not good at the religion that you follow. It's like, don't conflate those two. They're not the same thing. Anyway, I'm sick of going into the gun debate. It's a big topic right now. Of course, you know, if anything needs to be talked about, I want to talk about, but it's just, we aren't experts. I don't care if we aren't. I don't want to get into debates because I don't care. That's the big, like, I don't care. If anybody's like, well, you know, actually, an assault rifle isn't a type of gun. It just is a verb for the, I don't care.
They call it just a rifle or something.
Yeah,
like
it's like, well, or people are like, well, this, look at this gun. This gun shoots the same way that the guns that people are trying to ban are using, but we're not trying to ban these guns. It's like, no, how about I want to ban that gun too?
Right.
Any gun that can, I don't care if it looks like a military gun. I just don't know about guns. So that's the gun that everybody's saying is killing people. Ban that gun. But I want to ban any gun that's like, you can shoot 100 bullets in 30 seconds. Ban it. I don't care if it's an AR-15 or a PX. I don't care. I don't care. And if you want to argue or tell me something's wrong, at the end of the day, I don't care. That's going to be the end of the art. We could go back and forth for a little bit, but at the end of the day, I don't care. So we're just going to jump out of that. We're going to get back to what we do here.
Got you hot.
Yeah, because I just don't – I hate actuallys, man. I hate actually people that are like, you know, everybody's like, well, you know, assault rifles, they kill people. Well, I mean, an assault rifle isn't actually a type of rifle. It's a, so what, man? You know what we mean. Right. Like, you know what
this
they mean.
Being an asshole.
Yeah, like, you know what they mean, though. So, yeah, we're going to jump out of that. We're going to talk about some fucked up shit after we take a quick break. So just stay tuned. All right, and we are back. Fran, I think you went first last week?
Yeah.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so cool. So it is my turn to go first this week. And we got some good feedback about the story that you did about
Sam
Kellerman and
James Butler.
And James Butler. Mm-hmm. And also, I loved that story, so I wanted to do a kind of sports story this week as well. And specifically, I wanted to keep it close to home because although you did call me out one day because I had on a Ravens shirt, mm-hmm. they didn't need to know that. I am a Patriots fan, so I wanted to dive into the details of Aaron Hernandez's story because I didn't know the full details, and it is, even though it can be looked at like a fucked up, like he's stupid and all this kind of stuff, it still is a tragedy. So I wanted to get the full details of it because, he had a promising career and it just went completely sideways, so I wanted to get the full details. So my affirmative murder this week is the story of Aaron Hernandez. Okay, so Aaron Joseph Hernandez was born in Bristol, Connecticut. He was the son of Dennis Hernandez, a Puerto Rican man, and Terry Valentina Hernandez, an Italian woman. His father, Dennis, died in January 2006 from complications from hernia surgery when Aaron Hernandez was 16. So right on the verge of him getting recruited to colleges and all this kind of stuff, and where, you know, you're about to really start reaping the fruits of all your labor, mm-hmm. he lost his dad at 16. According to Hernandez's mother, his father's death greatly affected their son. He acted out his grief by rebelling against authority figures, and after 3 very productive years at the collegiate level, Hernandez decided to forgo his senior season and enter the 2010 NFL draft. And when he was playing, he went to Florida, and he played his freshman year was during the Tebow years. So
Florida State?
No, Florida. The Gators.
Gators. I didn't know he went there.
Yeah, he went to Florida, and he played with Tim Tebow. And,
oh, shit, I didn't know.
Well, his freshman year, he played with Tim Tebow. Wow. I think he might have played a – I don't – I think Tim Tebow entered the draft in – might have been 2010. You know, like something like that. So I think he played like – 1 or 2 seasons of his college career with Tim Tebow. So while he was at Florida, it was amazing. You know, mm-hmm. Both him and Joakim Noah around that whole time of Florida sports, mm-hmm. was like, Joakim Noah would be like, phew. Like they won't say it because they got to be, but they'll be like, phew. Those were some fun times. Like they're mm-hmm. like, oh boy, let me tell you, it was Florida back in 07, 08, 2010.
It was Liddy.
Woo, good time. So like, it was that kind of situation. So you're talking about a guy who was going from, you know, being on the biggest stage. They're in BCS championships. You got Tim Tebow on your team. It's the most talked about sports team in college. Tim Tebow's like the biggest college athlete ever. Mm-hmm. You're on that train of, you know, fame and attention. You ride that into the 2010 NFL draft. But he was, his draft stock did drop because he had failed a a drug test while he was in college for weed. Mm. So he ended up getting drafted fourth. But I'm going to go into details of that. I just there's some stuff I know being a fan, and the story, I'm going to jump out of it to just kind of reminisce, because, I mean, this guy was really, really good at football.
Right.
But so Hernandez was drafted by the New England Patriots in the fourth round of the 2010 NFL draft alongside teammate Rob Gronkowski. He formed one of the league's most dominant tight end duo. So, again, I'm going to jump out. For people who don't watch sports, most teams don't run a two tight end playbook. And in 2010 to 2013, nobody was. So if you know who Rob Gronkowski is, he's kind of this big meathead. He was like the Thunder, and Aaron Hernandez was like the Lightning. So people couldn't stop this combination. It really was amazing to see. Mm. Like, they were very good together, but they were rivals from the time they were young up until they got on the same team, because they played the same position and they got compared a lot. Hmm. But they ended up becoming buddies because they kind of had the same sensibility and they ended up being on the same team.
Wait, they came in the same year?
The same year. They got drafted the same year. Rob Gronkowski went higher, but...
What school did he go to?
Rob Gronkowski?
Yeah.
I don't know. Some meathead school. Probably like Arizona. I think he went to Arizona. Like some party school. I bet it was Arizona, but I don't know for sure. Let's see. They became the first pair of tight ends to score at least 5 touchdowns each in consecutive seasons for the same team. He made 1 Super Bowl appearance in Super Bowl 46 in 2011. Hernandez was named a Pro Bowl alternate during that season as well. In the playoffs, Hernandez had the longest run of the postseason, a 42-yard run against the Broncos on the Patriots' first offensive drive of the game. Hernandez helped lead the Patriots to Super Bowl 46, scoring a touchdown during the game, but the Patriots lost to the goddamn New York Giants 21-17. Eli Manning, you are a moon-faced coward, and if I ever see you in the streets, I'm going to throw an egg at you.
Why?
Because he beat him twice, and it's always on some, like, the first time they beat the Patriots when they had the perfect season, it was off of a helmet catch by, like, David Tyree or whatever that guy's name is. And in this year, in 2011, when they beat the Patriots, it was some crazy.
Or that was the other one?
Say it again?
Is this the year they won undefeated?
No, this is the second time Eli Manning beat Tom Brady, and it was off some, in the fourth quarter, they caught some crazy sideline catch. I don't even know who did it, and it, you know, the game was close, but that put them in position to win the game, and they won the game. It's always some bullshit, and Eli Manning, you will never be as good as your brother, and you are a joke, and if I ever see you in the streets, I will throw an egg in your face. I'm sorry. So as you can tell from the things I just said, his second season as a Patriot was very good. He led them, you know, he was one of the leading receivers on the team. Mm. They went to the Super Bowl. He was a Pro Bowl, you know, participant. He had a very, very good season. And following that season, on August 27, 2012, the Patriots signed Aaron Hernandez to a 5-year contract extension running through 2018 with a $12.5 million signing bonus, which was the largest ever given to an NFL tight end, and a $40 million total was the second largest extension ever after teammate Rob Gronkowski. So they had the two highest paid tight ends in the history of the NFL on the same team.
And they'd have had him now.
They would have had him now, exactly. Yeah, yeah, pretty insane. So some people know where the story is going, but for those who don't, I'm going to continue on. Hernandez began dating Shyana Jenkins in 2007. They had a daughter named Aviel Janelle Jenkins Hernandez. Ooh, that's a long one.
I like that name.
Aviel,
mm-hmm.
you got a thing for the Spanish, the spicy Latin passion. So that name sounds like gibberish to me. It's hard to say. Okay. Aviel,
it's not that hard to say.
I might be saying it wrong. just name her Ariel. That's a good name too. It's like replace the V with an R. It's the same name.
Nah,
it's just you're biased because of the Latin passion that's put on it. It's an R and a V. You put V a R instead of a V. It's Ariel. It's the same name. But you're like, no, rice and beans. Whatever, man.
But continue.
I will.
Please.
Don't interrupt me with your love of names. I don't have kids. I can't relate to the things you feel.
Come on, man.
I
want to hear the deets. Come on.
She was born in November 2012. They became engaged in the same month their daughter was born. That month, Hernandez purchased a 7,100-square-foot, 4-story home with an in-ground pool in North Attleboro, Massachusetts, for $1.3 million. So this guy's on top of the world. He's living a great life. There, the family lived together. With the departure of Wes Welker and Rob Gronkowski having a hard time staying healthy, which these are details from when Aaron Hernandez was still playing, but coincidentally that's still happening now. Rob Gronkowski, he might retire. It's a whole thing. Anyway,
dude made of glass.
Yes, but big thick glass. But when it breaks, it breaks. So yeah, with Wes Welker, who at the time was like Tom Brady's guy, he got traded to the Denver Broncos, and Rob Gronkowski couldn't stay healthy. It seemed like Aaron Hernandez was about to take on a larger role for the powerhouse Patriots football team. So, and this sounds biased, but I don't care. If you don't like it, go fuck yourself. If you're a Giants fan, fuck Eli Manning. I'm sorry. I'm not going back into that. But what I'm saying is, just to keep it even without being a Patriots fan, he was on a football team who had just come from a Super Bowl loss. He had just got paid a whole bunch of money, and all of the main guys were kind of shipping out or getting hurt. So it looked like he was about to become the go-to guy on the best team. I mean, well, second best. They lost to the Giants. So, you know, but still, one of the best teams in the NFL. He was about to be the go-to guy for Thomas Brady, the GOAT. Everything was looking up for him. He had a bunch of money in the bank. He was looking to take on a bigger role for this football team, and he had just had a daughter. Life was great. However, on June 17, 2013, the body of semi-pro football player Odin Lloyd was found in an industrial park a mile from Hernandez's mansion in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. Police quickly traced evidence back to Hernandez, though the NFL star complicated matters by destroying his cell phone and surveillance footage from his home. Lloyd was dating Shania Jenkins, the sister of Hernandez's fiance, Shyana Jenkins. And on June 26, Hernandez was led from his home in handcuffs and charged with first-degree murder and 5 firearms violations. The Patriots announced his release less than 2 hours after his arrest. So the Patriots, I remember this like it was yesterday. So this was all the summer before the season, like right before the season was starting again. People already had their jerseys bought because, you know, Aaron Hernandez had just had this amazing season. And the day this happened, the Patriots cut him from the team, and they said, if you have an Aaron Hernandez jersey, bring it to Foxborough, and we'll return the money.
Damn.
They were like, we're getting this guy off the books completely. Like, we don't want to have anything to do with this. Nobody would answer any questions. They would all just kind of say, it's a tragic situation. We don't know the details, but, you know, he no longer works for this organization. Like, they moved on from him very quickly. It was pretty quick. It was pretty
crazy. Wait, okay. Are you going to get to why he did it?
Sure, I mean, there's theories, but he...
Okay, yeah, all right, because yeah, okay. I didn't know.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, and Hernandez was soon dropped by corporate sponsors. The arraignment provided details for the motive and evidence. Apparently upset that Lloyd had talked with his enemies during a prior evening out at a Boston nightclub, Hernandez and 2 friends drove Lloyd around in a rented Nissan Altima before shooting him multiple times at around 3:30 a.m. on June 17th. So, basically, he was talking to, because Aaron Hernandez was like in a gang. I don't know what gang it was, but he was very much, even though he had just made all this money and was on this team, he was still like living this street life, and, you know,
it's like, why though?
Yeah, I had no. There's pictures of him holding guns.
Also, I do remember them saying that when they shot him, it was like, was it the term they used? Like,
execution style?
Yeah, that.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. He shot him to kill him.
That's
so
crazy.
This guy, and one of the, I remember it very much, and I ended up looking up, I couldn't find, so it got twisted in my mind after this news came out, but Aaron Hernandez's celebration is he would make it rain. Like, he would pick money up off the ground, open a safe up, throw money in the sky. But one time, he scored a touchdown, and he dug a grave. Like, he, like, took a shovel, went down into the grave, took money out of the grave, and threw it into the sky. So, I don't know if this is just a coincidence. This might have been maybe the day after. Because, again, this guy was, like, killing people and then going out and getting 156 reception yards and 2 touchdowns. So, he really was trying to – he was living such a crazy life. It was insane.
That's like some Simpsons shit.
Simpsons shit.
Yeah, you know how they be having pictures of like the Simpsons are saying something to happen.
Oh, like a prediction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this dude was just telling all along, like,
yeah, like, shovel
these bodies.
rest in peace. He did it. Like, it, in my mind, what's crazy is because when I was reading the story, I was like, and I remember that like it was yesterday. And in my mind, he dug a grave, got on his knees, and then put the dirt back over the grave. Like, you know what I mean? Like, grab the imaginary dirt that he just dug up and then recovered it back over the grave. But
his homeboys probably was like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you popped that motherfucker, cuz. You blew his brains out, cuz. over an argument. Like, they got in a fight in the club with a guy who's dating his wife's sister.
Right.
He talked to somebody he didn't want him talking to or whatever happened, and he, I mean, that's like some American gangster shit. That's you
that's
as a football player.
A kid. That's some kid shit.
But either kid or like drug kingpin. Like it was one of the, it's either a stupid reckless decision or the decision of a kingpin boss who tolerates no disrespect. It was some Scarface shit. But you're playing in the NFL. You just signed a contract for $50 million.
Right.
A month after he signed a $50 million contract, he's getting brought out of his house in handcuffs.
Some people just can't leave the streets alone, man.
I guess, but $50 million is a lot of incentive to do so. I'd be like,
oh, yeah.
Like, you know, like me and you are friends and nothing would ever come between us. But if you were a bad influence on my life and all of a sudden I had a bunch of million dollars, I'd be like, hey, man, we can't be friends anymore. Like, yeah. It would be the most honest kind of like, hey, man, look, we can't be friends anymore. I don't know you anymore. I'm sorry. We can't be friends anymore. You're bringing me down.
Can you throw me a meal? Or I'll leave you alone.
A meal?
A meal.
I can give you a meal.
No, a meal.
Like
one
a meal to
no,
eat?
Meal, like million.
$1 million?
Yeah, throw me $1 million. I'll leave you alone. As you want me to.
Nah, cuz I can't.
You're making $20 million. You can't throw me a meal.
Off the strength of what? You bringing me down and I want to get you out of my life?
Yeah. How am I supposed to deal with that? We've been friends for years. You're going to just kick me to the curb.
Let me check this out. We've been friends for years and you bringing guns to my house and drugs to my house. And I'm like, look,
I'm
man,
like, hey, cuz, you already know what it was, cuz. For this, all this came up popping, cuz. That's what I'd have been. I'd have been like that.
So you would have been threatening me?
No, like, I just said, don't try to change now because you're getting all this money.
Okay.
Because we was doing this thing before you got rich.
$250,000.
$250,000?
$250,000.
No.
$250,000, get out of my face. You are a person who. You sell drugs for a living. You're going to get high and mighty on me? I'm offering you $250,000 to go live your life?
$500,000.
$500,000. For a headache. for a nuisance on my life. You bringing me down. I'm trying to further my career. I'm trying to be in GoDaddy commercials and get my brand up. And you're bringing me down. And I offer you $250,000. And you're gonna counter offer me $500,000, $500,000 to go away.
$500,000, $500,000.
This is extortion.
So I can
get out of my house.
So I can pay,
offer revoked.
I can pay my other gang
offer
members. Cause
revoked. You get nothing.
I need to pay my other gang
now
members.
Now you get nothing.
Now
you get nothing. You counter offer me if I'm trying to give you money? Now you get nothing. Leave my house, sir. Alphonse.
Who's that? Your butler?
Butler / security guard. We have a nuisance.
Hey, then I'm going to have to take shit to another level.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to have to come after
you.
This
is why you don't get any scene. Look at this. Look at this alternative reality. I turn you down. I offer you $250,000. Now you go from potentially getting $250,000 to you killing somebody. I can't be your friend. This is why you can't be my friend. I have to get you out of here.
Hey, man, if I ain't rich, ain't nobody rich.
Wow.
And that's how it
is,
cuz.
That's that crabs in a barrel mentality. This is why we can't progress as a people. Go watch Black Panther. Go watch Black Panther. You are a crab in a barrel, sir. You need to go watch Black Panther immediately.
I crip walk out of the door.
I'm going to jump back into my story. I don't have time for your nonsense anymore. Yeah, surveillance at the industrial. So, we went on a bit of a tangent there. So we're at a point now where there's footage of him, or the police have arrested him for murder. He destroyed his cell phone and he destroyed footage at his home, like his surveillance cameras at his house. He destroyed all that stuff, you know, to not help the police. However, surveillance at the industrial park where Lloyd was found revealed the presence of the Altima at the time of the shooting. While more footage from Hernandez's home showed him arriving with a gun shortly afterwards. So he got out of the car like if the video didn't have sound, I'm assuming he got out of the car with the gun in his hand and like shaking it around, maybe laughing like man, I killed him. That was hilarious.
Oh,
like,
after
yeah, they, well
oh,
they
okay.
got they he didn't destroy all the footage, so oh. They were able to get footage of him that night pulling up to his house and he got out of the. Like, who doesn't have a gun in their waistband or something? Like, he got out of the car with the gun visible. Like, wow. He got out of the car with the gun. Like, man, maybe miming and like, man, I, pow. Like, no audio, but it's like, pow, man, I, pow. I shot him, and he was crying and begging me for his life. Like, that's the way they frame it when I was reading it. Like, you got out of, who gets out of the car with the gun in their hand? Or even visible in any kind of way.
Right.
But, you know, when you do dirt, you never think you're going to get caught. So maybe he just was like, I'm at home. Who's going to watch my surveillance cameras? They're mine.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, so it showed him arrive with a gun shortly after the murder. In addition, the same 45 caliber casings that were discovered at the murder scene were also found in the rented car.
They didn't clean up? The hell?
This guy was living like a like a young kingpin. He was like, it's my car. I think everything, but I think it was he had the entitlement from the money along with the doing dirt. So it was like, it's my car. I'll clean it up whenever.
No, but he said they found it at the crime scene, though.
They found, they didn't clean up. But that's not, the casings is not what did it. They found the same casings in his car.
That matched the ones they found at the crime scene.
That matched the ones they found at the crime scene. So if he would have, they already caught him, but like, right. They found, you had bullets in your car? Like, what? You know? But I think that was the entitlement of having the $50 million of being like, man, this is my shit. Nobody's going to go on my shit without permission. I'm Aaron Hernandez. Like, So it's that's a dangerous combination of having that kind of God complex, because playing sports is a fucked up kind of thing where you're basically a gladiator. Like, every weekend, this guy would go out in front of 30,000 people and they would chant his name and he would go into the end zone and put his hands up and, you know, like, it definitely inflates your ego to live that. You know what I mean? I can only imagine Tom Brady's life. Like, he probably is the most arrogant person to ever walk the earth. I mean, he is an undeniable football champion. Mm-hmm. So for anybody to, you know, be like, excuse me, sir, we don't have any more valet spots. He'd be like, look, check this out. Go move that Fiat. go tell the person that's in there eating that their car is getting moved. Move that car and go park my car right there in the front. I want my car parked in the front. And if you even don't even make a response to what I'm saying to you, go do it or I will have you fired. Like, that is the kind of power that he has. Mm. I would hope not. I would hope he's a nice guy.
Sure he was.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he was. Because
he said Michael Jordan was an asshole.
You know what? You get 6 rings, you can do that kind of shit. You make Space Jam and get 6 rings, go. When I'm eating my steak, on the poor end of the steak, I'm getting the basic level steak, not the aged Wagyu beef. When I'm eating my poor steak, somebody come tap me on my shoulder and they go, yeah, Michael Jordan says you got to move your broke boy car. Then here's my keys. I'm not going to do it because I'm not a bitch. Here's my keys, whatever he needs. And if it's Tom Brady, I'll go move it. Can I see him? I'll move my car. But that's the kind of power these guys are wielding. So now you company that with, like, you have goons that, like, do your bidding.
Mm-hmm.
Probably was like, yeah, nah, I'm home now. I got out of the car. I'm dancing. I got a gun in my hand. Maybe I let a shot off. Bow. You know, like, yeah, man, I don't give a fuck. I'm Aaron Hernandez. So that's a bad combination.
That's nuts.
Yeah, so they found the 45 caliber casings that they were discovered at the murder scene, and they were also found in the rented car and at a condo owned by Hernandez, and that's probably where he kept his goons, you know? That's if in our alternate universe, maybe I wouldn't even give you money. I might set you up like, here, man, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Here's a place.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you get a property. You can stay there. So that was probably his do dirt apartment because, you know, he was a nice guy. He didn't want to do dirt around his wife and his daughter, so he had a little do dirt condo somewhere.
That's
probably, you know, bag up the weed, got guns there and stuff. I mean, that's crazy to say, but, like, this is the kind of life he was living. And he would also, on Sundays, go out in a Patriots uniform and score touchdowns.
Steve is a fraud, man.
I mean, that's one way to put it. I think he might be one of the most thorough-ass guys ever exist. He did it. He was doing stupid gangster shit because he loved it. That's extra crazy. Like, he wasn't doing it because he needed the money. He was doing it because, like, I just love this shit.
That's when I always be like,
I love this.
You never
know
what type of person somebody is, or, like, what are they doing outside, especially, like, athletes. You
yeah.
know, I don't know what they're doing.
All these people
than
you look up
basketball
to.
Basketball or football.
Like I said, for anybody who's listening, this is a very sports heavy episode. I'm sorry. But Fran is under the impression that LeBron James has never cheated on his wife. And he's been with the same girl since they were, like, 16 years old. I think LeBron James is a great guy. That's bullshit. I think him and his wife have an understanding, and that's who he chooses to have his kids with. And they love each other. I'm sure they love each other very much. But you're telling me the biggest athlete on the planet, going to China, going to all these different cities overnight, he's not out here giving non-confidentiality agreements to these girls? He's slaying in all these different towns?
Nah.
I find that hard to believe, bro.
I don't think so.
That LeBron James is just celibate till he gets home to his wife.
LeBron, the King James. I don't think so.
Of what? Like 13, 15 years?
True love, man. I don't think so.
Yeah, true love, but temptation's the son of a bitch. And
that's
the level of temptation that he has is astronomical. You know, he's got three rings. He spends his summers on yachts with other basketball players, shirtless
with his wife. His wife is there.
Not all the time. What are you? Are you his assistant? You don't know. They're not always together.
How you know?
Whatever, man. We're getting off topic again. I've been very off topic this whole thing. I'm sorry. I love to talk sports.
And so about LeBron James.
This was very like meeting of two worlds. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I got a burp.
Excuse me.
Away from Mike. So now Aaron Hernandez is in court awaiting trial for this murder, right? So in the meantime of that, another allegation against Hernandez surfaced. He was accused by a Florida man of discharging a weapon that caused him to lose an eye. So this guy was really out here, man. Like, this guy was really, he was the guy that would be in the club and then you step on his shoes and it turns into a thing and he would bust his gun on. He wouldn't just fight you. Mm-hmm. He would, like, because Aaron Hernandez was a football player. Mm-hmm. He could have beat up a person he got into altercation with and won the fight. But he was like, nah, my gun works. Bang!
From the streets,
he was just shooting people. I mean, he was from Connecticut, but, you know, whatever. You know.
Killing people. You're from the streets.
I don't know about that. yeah, he was accused of discharging weapon that caused the man to lose his eye, and he was being investigated in a drive-by shooting from the previous summer. Once poised for a prominent career, the talented but troubled athlete instead found himself facing the prospect of life behind bars.
I just don't understand. The part that gets me is this guy was a phenomenal athlete.
Phenomenal. I want to make that clear to people. Again, I mean, this guy, we definitely would have went to the Super Bowl again the summer that he got arrested, that season, after this summer, they would have definitely went back to the Super Bowl and would have been more prepared to win. But yeah, he was phenomenal. Go ahead.
It's
baffling, it's crazy, right? I mean, like, you have everything going your way. This would be like, again, to bring him up again, this would be like if tomorrow was like, LeBron James got arrested. He shot somebody last night or something. Like, that's even more astronomical because LeBron James is almost worth $1 billion. But it's that same kind of thing of like, wow, you just ruined your life.
It's one of the things where I don't want to get off topic, where today I heard that Stephen A. Smith was saying that he said that some people think, there's legitimately some people out there that think that for some reason LeBron is getting better while everybody's getting worse and he's getting older.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's all I'm going to say. I'm like,
because he doesn't if do this stupid
dude,
shit.
If this dude's taking some type of drug that people found out,
that
like,
was that what he was saying?
He didn't say it, but that's what he meant.
That's what he was inferring.
And I was like, that would be like, that shit would be crazy. That shit would be crazy.
Yeah, but drugs and basketball don't really make it.
That's
you
what
still
I'm saying.
Gotta put the
that's
ball
what,
in the hole. Like,
exactly. That's
football
what I said.
Is different because it's brute strength. Even though LeBron's game is based on strength.
But that's what I mean. I mean, yeah, that, like, you taking steroids or something and you playing basketball doesn't make any sense, but it's like, why would you do it, though?
Yes.
Same thing if it's Aaron Hernandez. Is like, you're making millions, that's playing football, and you still, why are you out there being a thug? Like,
love the life, bro. Love the life.
That's
fucking
insane,
man. Can't
leave. And you have a family and a newborn daughter.
Yep. Avelia, or Aviel. You love that name. Yeah, can't leave the streets alone, man. Pretty sad.
Crazy, man.
In May 2014, Hernandez found himself facing new charges in connection with a 2012 drive-by shooting in Boston. Two men, Daniel Abreu and Safiro Furtado, were killed in this incident, which occurred a week before Hernandez began training with the New England Patriots. So this guy was really...
That's crazy.
And still going to work. That's the craziest part about the whole thing, is he was doing insane shootout, Grand Theft Auto type things, and then being like, so you want me to run a post route, Bill Belichick? All right, cool. Thank you, sir.
And this guy's like, he like hanging outside. Like, he just some regular ass dude.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
It couldn't happen now, because the first murder, somebody like, is that Aaron Hernandez shooting somebody?
Right.
Like, it's insane. Where was I? They died in an incident which occurred a week before Hernandez started training with the New England Patriots. According to news reports, Abreu and Furtado had been at the same Boston nightclub as Hernandez the night of the murders.
Wow.
Hernandez was suspected of targeting them after they left the club, shooting them in their car at a traffic light. So they got into some kind of altercation. He was like, I bet it was something similar to a situation like this. They got in an altercation at the club, and they were going back and forth and yelling and all this kind of stuff, and Aaron Hernandez was like, you got it. Say no more. Y'all have a good night. And then waited for them when they left the, when the club let out, followed them. They pulled up to a light and murdered them. This is some like gang shit.
It's like it, this story
this
is
something 17-year-old kids do to each other over petty money.
Like, this is not new to us, but it's still mind blowing. It's like,
it's mind blowing that a millionaire is involved.
Right. And then it's
in.
Like, yeah. This dude, I feel like, to me, I'm just making an assumption. I think those guys that he was targeting probably was like, he not gonna do nothing. He got too much money. He got too much to lose.
You thought wrong, sir. You were dealing with the right one. Anybody else? If I saw anybody on the Baltimore Ravens, because we live in Baltimore, mm-hmm. if I saw anybody on the Baltimore Ravens like out somewhere and we bumped shoulders or something like that, mm-hmm. and then they were like, "Watch where you're going," I would curse them out,
right?
Like legitimately, right. I'd be like, "Hit me! Oh, please hit me! Oh my God! I'm getting a smile on my face just thinking about it. If Joe Flacco hit me in a mall, the scene I would make. Oh! I fall out. The ambulance would have to come. Oh man, I would be getting paid. So you're damn right. I wouldn't think Aaron Hernandez would hit me or do anything to me. I'd be like, fuck you. You know, because I'm like, you're not gonna do anything. You're worth a bunch of money. Why would you be dumb enough? Mm-hmm. You had the right one. So yeah, he's accused of pulling up to these people after the club let out and shooting them at a red light. On April 14th, 2007, Hernandez was acquitted of two counts of murder in the drive-by shooting of Abreu and Furtado outside a Boston nightclub on July 2012. Days later, Hernandez appeared to commit suicide on April 19th, 2017. He was found hanging from a bedsheet in his jail cell and could not be resuscitated. Following Hernandez's death, a judge erased his murder conviction, abiding by a Massachusetts case law which calls for convictions to be vacated if the defendant dies before an appeal can be heard. So I'm going to break that down just in layman's terms for people out there. So basically, after he beat, so he's already in jail for murder. Mm. He didn't, that was an open and shut case. So while in jail for that, he gets accused of this other double murder, mm-hmm. goes to trial for that, beats it, but during this time that he beats this trial, he was waiting for an appeal on the original murder to go back to court because he thought he wanted to go before a judge again and plead his case again. So he beats that case. A couple of days after he beats the case for the double murders, they find him dead in his jail cell from suicide. Mm-hmm. Because of a law in Massachusetts, if you are currently waiting to appeal a plea and you die, they erase your record for that crime. So because he was going to plea for this murder, he died. Because of this law in Massachusetts, they go, oh, well, he was kind of in limbo since he felt like he was innocent and he was waiting to go before the judge again. He's now innocent for some weird
technically,
reason.
He didn't kill anybody.
He died an innocent man. Him committing suicide erased the murder from his record, and he beat the double murder. Mm. So he died an innocent man by some weird controversial Boston law. Now this, I didn't go into it cause it was pretty crazy, but this little snippet of news caused a bunch of people to go on Facebook and stuff and say that Aaron Hernandez killed himself because he knew this and that would give his daughter money. Whoa. That is false. Oh. They thought that him killing himself and becoming innocent meant that the Patriots would have to give his family the rest of his contract money.
Right.
That's not true. That's not true. That didn't happen. It's not true. But
that would have been smart.
It would have been smart. Right. But I got some details towards the end that will explain what I think actually happened and what a lot of people think actually happened. The night of his death, Hernandez had placed a large amount of shampoo on the floor of his cell, making it very slippery. According to the investigation report, ligature marks were visible on his neck, and there was discharge and vomit coming from his nose and mouth areas, the report states. The report also says that Hernandez's right middle finger had a fresh cut and that there was blood on his other fingers. In addition, there was a large circular blood mark on each of his feet, and John 3:16 was written on his forehead in ink. So John 3:16 is a Bible verse. I don't really remember what it was about, but he it was a very weird death. He had a paper clippings on the wall of John 3:16, mm-hmm. and he had left a note to his girlfriend or his wife, and maybe his daughter, I don't know, but yeah, he wrote John 3:16 on his forehead. He had, you know, like blood on his hands and all this stuff, and he hung himself from the bars on his cell. In September 2017, it was revealed that Hernandez had been suffering from an advanced case of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, a degenerative brain disease at the time of his death. Commonly found in football players and other athletes who participate in high-impact sports, CTE is often marked by problems with controlling aggression, mood swings, lapses in judgment, and varying degrees of dementia. Doctors said that Hernandez was found to have the most severe form of this disease they had ever seen in a 27-year-old.
Damn.
So, aggression, you know, making bad decisions, varying. There's so many symptoms that can be explained to the way he was acting mm-hmm. that you could attribute to CTE. And for him to be having the most CTE in a brain of somebody that was his age that anybody's ever seen, you know, I'm not saying that's why I'm not saying that's why he killed those people, but I'm saying if you already, you know, you're a football player for mm-hmm. one, so you got this aggression in you, you have a brain disease, and you are living this gangster lifestyle where you feel like you need to impress the people around you, whatever, you have a reputation to uphold, any kind of thing could set you off.
Right.
And you have a brain disease that, like, makes you erratic. So it's not insane to think that that could have played a role in the things that he did.
Mm-hmm.
This is one big reason why I've kind of lost interest in football over the years. Some people lost interest because of the protests. I didn't really give a shit about the protests. But years ago, when you would watch a big hit in a football game, like, I would go, oh, man, that's crazy.
Right.
But then after learning about CTE and I watched that Will Smith movie, Concussion, and just doing research and stuff, mm-hmm. when I see those hits now, I go, like, oh, my God, like, that guy really just fucked himself up.
Right.
You know, so I would never let my kid play football. They are saying that even at young age, like Pop Warner ages, it starts from there because you're just rattling your brain around in your skull.
Right, yeah.
So it is a very dangerous sport. And if you... But what the NFL is doing, I think, is very wrong because they're still the information is still out there, but they aren't really confronting the danger and letting it be known to young people.
Yeah. I think when that movie came out, it was like a big deal.
Yes, but the NFL isn't backing that kind of. The NFL is like they kind of have to do it in the light ways and change the helmets and make little adjustments. But they still are denying that, like they're saying that evidence is like lopsided. It's not 100% accurate is what they're staying with.
Well, they doing that for money reasons.
Exactly. But I'm saying, I think that it would be more respectable for them to go, you know what? Football is dangerous and you could really fuck yourself up and it can lead to you having a very messed up psyche,
mm-hmm.
you know, as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
But if you still want to play football, you can make millions of dollars.
Right.
I think if you put that to somebody to make that choice to go, okay, well, you know, I could make a lot of money and change my family's entire life and put my kids in a better position, and I'm perfectly fine with dealing with whatever consequences come to me when I'm 50, 40, 60 years old. I'm fine with that. But to just not be making the information clear to people and burying studies and all this kind of stuff, and people don't really know what happens when you have CTE.
Mm.
It's again, this was more talking around Aaron Hernandez time because CTE studies have been more prevalent and the information is more out there. But at this time, people didn't know what they were signing up for. They didn't know about CTE. It's new. So I think the NFL's policy should be moving forward. These college kids, these high school kids, this information should be put right in their face and let them know, look, man, CTE really messes up your brain. But if you want an opportunity to make millions and millions of dollars doing this sport, that's the sign off that you have to make. And I think that that's a more fair thing than to just go, well, that evidence is inconclusive. It kind of is shaky. Mm-hmm. And then these people go, well, whatever. I like football, so I'll keep playing it. I think you should let people know what they're in for potentially. Not potentially. Everybody that plays football is getting their head. It's most people that play football are going to end up with CTE. So I feel like you should just let that be known to people. And I wanted to just – I have a couple notable people that were also victims of CTE-related suicides in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those people are Terry Luther Long, Andre Waters – Shane Dranette.
Are these football players?
Former football players. They all killed themselves.
Oh, okay, former. Yeah. Okay.
They all committed suicide after they retired. Dave Russell Duerson, Ray Easterling, and probably most notably Junior Seau, who shot himself in the chest and coincidentally ended his career with the New England Patriots. And another interesting story that I wanted people to check out if you don't remember it is a lot of people think Chris Benoit had CTE. Mm-hmm. And going back to that story that you were talking about in the beginning, what, like I said, this is the part about the dad killing his family and then shooting mm-hmm. himself. Chris Benoit killed his son and his wife and then killed himself.
Killed himself, right.
And then they were like removed him from the WWE like yeah. history. Like,
I remember hearing that on they did it on My Favorite Murder, and they said that the article they read is that he had a brain of like an 80-year-old man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
CTE
crazy.
CTE is no joke. That's insane. And wrestling is, think about it, like you're jumping off ropes, you're jumping off fences, you're getting hit in the head with steel chairs, you know, all these things. It's just as bad as football is.
But it's like, leading up to that moment, it's like, how was they even living if your brain is just fried like that? It's just like,
oh, I'm sure. Well, that's well, the way that they do it in Concussion, which is a very good movie, is they really show like people going in and out of different mood swings, the light giving them headaches. It's a miserable existence, and that's why they think a lot of people kill themselves. Think about every day. You wake up, the light hurts your eyes, you have major, like, just mind, like, blowing headaches, like, terrible headaches, you lose sense of time, forget things, you slip in and out of these different memories.
That's scary.
And that's your existence every day. Once your brain gets to that point and the effects start to take hold, every day is like hell. Your brain is turning on you. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of these, you know, these guys are like, I can't, there's not, I've taken every drug, I'm on Vicodin, I can't live anymore. Mm. I'm abusing alcohol, I'm asleep most of the day because I'm, you know, self-medicating. I don't want to be alive anymore. These headaches and all of this, these things, it's driving me crazy, and I don't want to be alive anymore. And that's the result of CTE, you know? And also, sometimes, it can make you snap and do terrible things to people. Chris Benoit, I'm not... You can't say that him having a brain of an 80-year-old person doesn't correlate with him snapping and killing his whole family and then himself. It just, that doesn't make any sense. Mm. Maybe there's some other like extenuating circumstances in there that maybe he had some mental health issues in his family life, but that played a role.
Right.
And Aaron Hernandez having the worst brain, the worst CTE in a brain of a 27-year-old person, and CTE causes aggression and mood swings and all these things, you can't write it off as not playing a role in what he did.
But imagine if he would have kept on playing and his brain
he was 27. Fucking, his brain, who
that's
knows?
Insane.
You know? So, you know, that was the story of Aaron Hernandez. And again, it's more of a Shakespearean tragedy. I don't think it's a tragedy in the sense of poor him, but in the sense of the grand scheme of the story, you know, a hometown boy makes good, becomes millionaire, whole life changes, has a daughter, and is living the great life, is about to become, you know, the most famous. Because Rob Gronkowski is a superstar. Like, he's on TV and everything. That would have been, in some semblance, Aaron Hernandez's life. You know, he's about to become a megastar on a great football team. And then now he's dead from committing suicide in jail because he couldn't continue to live a life as a prisoner when he was living a life that you can only dream of. Mm. I think if I can't imagine that didn't have something to play like to do with it, where you go from yachts and mansions and you get to see your kid every day and provide your kid with all this life to now you're going to be in a cell for the rest of your no parole, no chance of parole. You're going to be in the cell for the rest of your life with a bunch of guys. You're going to have to fight sometimes. You're going to have to avoid, and you're just going to have to fight extra because people are going to be calling you stupid and, you know, maybe trying to extort you for money. Because you do have some money, they're going to be trying to extort you for money. That's your life forever until you die.
Say the hell with this.
So it's like, rather than do it after 50 years, I'm just going to do it now. Either way, my life's over. I can let it be over in 50 years, or I can let it be over now. And he chose to end his life. So that's the tragic story, but tragic in just the story sense. And all the CT and everything like that. He still killed a person. But it's just a tragic story. And that's the story of Aaron Hernandez. That's my affirmative murder this week. So I went kind of long. I don't think we need to go into any more discussion about it unless you have anything else to say.
Ah.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it's Fran's turn to tell you some fucked up shit. So stay tuned. All right, folks, we're back. Fran, please tell me your affirmative murder this week.
All right, my affirmative murder this week is Christopher Scarver.
Christopher Scar?
Scarver.
Scarver?
Yeah, Scarver.
Christopher Scarver, okay.
Christopher Scarver, born July 6th of 1969 in the Milwaukee area.
69.
Is a convicted American murderer and is the second of five children and was born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
He attended James Madison High School before dropping out in 11th grade. Scarver was hired as a trainee carpenter in a Wisconsin Conservation Corps job program.
Okay.
He said that he had been promised by Edward Patz, a supervisor, that upon completion of this program, he would be hired full-time. But Patz was dismissed, and as a result, Scarver's full-time position never materialized.
Mm. So the guy that made the promise was gone.
He got fired, yeah. So he's gone. So on June 1st, 1990, Scarver went back to the training program, training program office, and found Steve Lohman, or Lahman, I guess you say his name. Okay. He is the supervisor who had replaced Edward Patz. Scarver demanded money from Lahman. I'm going to just call him Lahman.
Okay.
Lahman, when Scarver received only $15 from Lahman, Scarver shot Lahman in the head.
Wait, he demanded money for what? Because he didn't get a job?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He shot him in the head?
Yeah.
Just like in the middle of a work day?
So he went back. I'm going to get to why he ended up going back to later on.
Right. But that's,
I'm guessing it's the middle. They didn't say.
I mean, like, he shot him at work is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, shot him at work.
Jeez.
At the same time, he demanded money from. Oh, wait. So I got this mixed up. I'm sorry. So he went there. The manager or site manager is called John Fan. So what happened was he went there, found this guy, and it was another guy there.
Okay.
So he was like, he wanted some money.
Right.
So as he was threatening the guy to get him some money, he ended up shooting another guy, right?
Oh, whoa.
Another guy was there. He ended up shooting him as it like, look, I'm serious.
I mean what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
As an example.
Right.
Okay.
So, yes. At the same time, he demanded money from the site manager. And then the authorities, Scarver said, he shot the dude, and he said, quote, "Do you think I'm kidding Hitler?"
What? Whoa, man.
So he shot the dude.
Can't just go around calling people Hitler.
Right.
Especially when you just killed somebody.
Yeah. He said.
He called him Hitler.
Yes. He said, you think I'm kidding, Mr. Hitler? I need more money. So Scarver shot.
That's a very confusing statement to say to somebody after they just saw somebody get murdered.
So he ended up shooting the dude four times. He shot him four times. And then, the guy ended up writing him a $3,000 check.
Wait. He shot the example guy four times?
Yeah, he shot him four times. And the other guy that he was threatening gave him a $3,000 check.
Okay.
So he ended up getting away with $15 in cash.
And a
$3,000 check. And he got away with the dude's credit card. But that dude ended up getting away. He ended up running.
The guy that he was threatening ended up getting away. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so. So a couple hours later, Mr. Scarver, who was arrested as he sat on the stoop of his girlfriend's apartment building, in his pockets, the police found a check, the credit card,
and $15,
a 25 caliber semi-automatic pistol that he had used, and the credit card. So Scarver, a tall, husky, soft-spoken man, told the arresting officers that he had planned to turn himself in because he knew he did wrong. I don't know what he said, quote, "I don't know what came over me." That's what he told the court-appointed psychiatrist. Several months after the shooting, he said, quote, "I was never in any trouble with the law and never in a fight with anyone." In interviews with Dr. Crowley, he said that he did not want to go into a mental hospital because the doctors would turn him into a vegetable.
Oh.
And the voices told him that he should go to prison instead.
The voices in his head?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yep. So, but he also offered a possible explanation. Said the voices he said had told him he was the son of God and, quote, "told me to do what I'm here for today."
What is this guy's name again?
Christopher Scarver.
Christopher.
Yeah. He said the voices was said the voices was a family, including a woman, a man, and a little girl and boy, had told him everything was going to be all right and it was meant to happen like this.
Oh God, that's so much in your head to be going on.
Right.
That's like four people. No, people. Mental health is very important. If you're hearing a family in your head, go talk to someone.
Yes.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yep. So they told him that he was, quote, the chosen one.
And he's the son of God.
Yep. So they told him he was the chosen one. So Mr. Scarver pleaded not guilty by reason of a mental disease. Psychiatrists disagreed on whether he was competent to stand trial. So Scarver was convicted and sentenced to life in prison. He was sent to Columbia Correctional Institution in Wisconsin in 1992. Mm-hmm. While prison, he complained of experiencing, let me see if you know this word, it's M-E-S-S-I-A-N-I-C.
M-E-S-S-I, what?
A-N-I-C.
A-N-I-C?
Yeah.
M-E, we gotta figure this out. M-E-S-S-I-A-N-C-S?
I-A-N-I-C.
Whoa.
M-E-S-S-I-A-N-I-C.
A-N-I-C. So, Anik.
Yeah.
Messianics?
Delusions?
Messianic delusions?
Yeah.
I don't know what it means, but that's how you say it.
Okay. Well.
You just gotta phonetically, break it down. Sometimes you gotta break the word down, you know? Messianic delusions?
Experiencing messianic delusions. Somebody would tweet or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Guys, folks, hit us up at AffirmativeMer1. What the fuck is a messianic delusion?
And was diagnosed with schizophrenia.
That makes sense.
On the morning of November 28th, 1994, Scarver was assigned to a work detail with two other inmates who was also convicted of murders. Mm. Who was also convicted murderers.
Okay.
That work that they had to do was included of cleaning the prison gymnasium toilets.
Oh.
Yeah. So while the...
Oh, sweaty butt shits?
Yeah.
Ugh. Gross.
So this way it gets kind of interesting. While cleaning the three inmates were left unattended by guards for about 20 minutes.
Orgy time.
Nah.
No?
No.
Oh, my bad, sorry.
Yeah. Scarver beat the other two men with a 20-inch metal bar that he removed from a piece of exercise equipment in the prison weight room.
Oh.
When he returned to his cell after that, the officers asked why he was not still working. So during that time, they asked him that, they found the two other inmates.
Wow.
And he said that...
Whole prison shut down then, I guess.
Yeah, I'm guessing so. So he explained to them that God told me to do it. Scarver also said that one inmate had taunted other inmates by constructing severed limbs with severed limbs out of food and ketchup. So one of the inmates was taunting him and other inmates with food, but he was turning the food into like arms and stuff like that, and he was using the ketchup as blood.
So like, yeah, like voodoo dolls.
I mean, I guess I don't know.
Wait,
but no,
wait,
no,
they
no.
were making fun of him.
No, he was taunting the other inmates
with what? With fake arms and bloody fake bloody arms.
Yeah, just
okay.
I'm gonna explain. It's,
okay,
just,
I'm sorry.
I want you
That's
to just take
a very,
the. Yeah,
I'm trying to break it down while you read. Okay,
I'm gonna break it down at the end. Oh, okay. It's gonna get interesting.
Okay.
I guess the dude was taking food,
uh-huh,
making like arms or legs, and then using the
ketchup
blood.
For
yeah,
blood.
Using the ketchup for blood. Yeah. So the one inmate was pronounced dead from extensive injuries while on his way to the hospital. Uh-huh. The other inmate died 2 days later after being found. He died 2 days later after the whole incident happened. Uh-huh. It was a part of that, didn't he? But Scarver also thought the victims, which are the two other inmates, were racist.
Oh.
And many believe that's why he killed them. Both of the inmates were white.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why he thought that was because one of his victims, whom I mentioned earlier, that they both was murderers and serial killers.
Uh-huh.
The first inmate was Jesse Anderson.
Okay.
On April 21st, 1992, The Anderson couple went to a movie and dinner at TGI Fridays outside of the Northridge Mall in Northwest.
Shout out to TGI Fridays.
Yeah. TGI
Endless
Fridays.
Apps. Sorry.
Come on, man. TGI Fridays outside the Northridge Mall in Northwest Milwaukee. After dinner, Jesse stabbed Barbara, who was his girlfriend, 5 times in the face and head, and then stabbed himself 4 times in the chest.
Wait, what? He stabbed himself?
Yeah.
Oh.
He stabbed himself 4 times in the chest, though most of his wounds were superficial.
Oh, he tried to make it look like they got like robbed or something?
Yeah, so I'm about to get in that.
Okay.
So Barbara went into a coma and died from her wounds 2 days later. Anderson, who was white, blamed two African American men for attacking him and his wife.
Typical.
So the other victim that he killed, the other victims of Scarver was the famous and notorious Jeffrey Dahmer.
What?
Whom you all know as the American serial killer and sex offender who committed the rape and murder of dismemberment of 17 men and boys between 1978 and 1991, and that most of his victims were black and Hispanic. But there was no evidence to support that.
Christopher.
Yeah, there was no evidence to support that, so they could not, they couldn't take that as a motive to why he killed them.
So, is he a good guy? Wait, no, he killed somebody to get in jail.
I don't know, but he said that God told him to do it. That's what his thing was. Said it was this was he was supposed to do. God told him to do.
Oh, like this is the whole. You're the guy that's been sent to kill Jeffrey Dahmer.
I guess.
Ooh, so, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
So it was all God's plan.
So.
Amen.
Yeah. So
amen.
So Scarver ended up receiving amen, 2 more life amen. Sentences for those 2 murders that he committed of Jesse Anderson and Jeffrey Dahmer.
Life is life. He was gonna be there anyway.
Yeah.
He killed Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yep.
How did he? Wait. You said the. Wait.
What?
So he was taunting Jeffrey Dahmer with limbs.
Jeffrey Dahmer was the one that was taunting other inmates with
fake
severed
limbs
and ketchup for blood.
How do you taunt somebody like that? Like, oh, look what I do.
I guess.
And he was like, no, fuck that. God sent me here to do this. Damn. Okay, so do you like him?
Do I? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Because he killed somebody. He killed 2 people. Well, 1 person for no apparent reason.
He had a job lined up.
Yeah. Well, also, they said that
don't kill
his,
people.
His
but.
Mom ended up kicking him out of the house, like, for him becoming an alcoholic. I think that, and then I think he broke up with his girlfriend, or something happened with his girlfriend. I thought I put it in here, but I guess I forgot.
A lot of triggers.
So that's why he went back to that job. He was like, look, I need some money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I take it back. He still killed somebody.
Yeah.
I don't like you, but. That's pretty badass. So Christopher Starkers?
Scarver.
Christopher Scarver, the murderer of Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yep.
And Jesse James?
Jesse Anderson.
Jesse Anderson, who did something that a lot of people do who, like, lose something or fake get robbed. Just blame a indescript black guy.
Right.
Which is, it perpetuates stereotypes, makes my life harder, makes your life harder.
Yeah.
Because it's just the stereotype that all black people like rob people and all this kind of stuff. And
but that's
why
that's why they said they thought it was like a racial thing. Cause
maybe he told him why he's in jail. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. But so, fuck him.
And also, he was on trial when Jeffrey Dahmer got caught. So he was already locked up. So he was on trial when Jeffrey Dahmer got caught.
So he was already there when Jeffrey Dahmer showed up.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, sorry, but fuck Christopher Starver. Fuck Jesse Anderson. Fuck Jeffrey Dahmer. But big time shout out to TGI Fridays. TGI Fridays is so underrated, man. You know, you could go in there and you can get a 3-for-15 situation going on a nice happy hour layered on top of that. Now you're eating apps forever. And you're getting bomb-ass fruity cocktails getting sent to your table. Shout out to TGI Fridays, where every day is Friday.
Also, they said that he probably got paid. Somebody said on like some website, I read something about some website that one of the inmates that was locked up with them said that the guards just happened to, the guards never never left Jeffrey Dahmer alone. Like, they never.
Oh, so it just happened to, like, just happened take just five to, off or yeah, go leave, let them yeah, work by just themselves?
The, yeah, and they saying that maybe they probably paid Scarver to kill Jeffrey Dahmer because they said the guards never left him alone, and they just happened to just leave them for 30, 20 minutes alone.
Wow. Mystery.
But this is him. Who he look like?
I don't know. Adrian Peterson?
Look like Danny Brown?
Yeah, he does kind of look like rapper Danny Brown a little bit. Yeah, he does kind of look like rapper Danny Brown. All right. Wow. Yeah, twist. Man. M. Night Shyamalan twist. I like it. Man. All right. That was a good one. So, again, before we get out of here, guys, I want to just say once again, we appreciate the reviews that have been coming in. One was really funny. A review we got this week was, I love steak and I love whatever else I said. I told people, you know, we don't care about what you say because it's whatever. Like, if you like steak, go on there and tell us how much you like steak. Somebody did that and was like, I love steak and I love this, something else. And they were like, I haven't seen Breaking Bad yet, but still, 5 stars. And I thought that was really funny because you have to listen to get, that's a reference. So shout out to those people. We got a couple more. I don't really remember them off the top of my head. But again, it's not an ego thing. Now, if you want to tell us how great we are, we won't stop you. If you think we're great, please let us know. If you got feedback for us, please let us know. But I like to live in a world where you get 5 stars even for effort. So don't come on there leaving 1-star shit. You know, let us know how we can improve. But let it be in a positive way because it's all love. You got anything else to add before we get out of here, Fran?
Nah, my butt hurt in his chair, though.
Oh. Like hemorrhoids? Or
No, like...
Like on the outside butt?
On the outside, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Like my cheeks.
All right, cool. That's less intense then. On that note...
<That's it>.
Yeah, on that note, you know, let's alleviate Fran's ass, and we're gonna get out of here. Look, man, if you want to get better chairs, you buy a chair and you bring it to the studio. These are the chairs I have, okay? That's my Nana's chair. She's dead now, so don't you feel like a jerk.
Not really.
Well, you go fuck yourself. With that being said, I've been Alvin Williams alongside my partner in true crime, Franco Evans.
Catch y'all next time.
And always be on the lookout.
Peace.